Hello, this is Mark Chris from Memorial Sloan Kettering, talking about the developments in the last few days in the therapies of lung cancers. Television, newspapers, medical meetings have all, and our leading journals have all shown huge amounts of data showing the benefit of immune checkpoint blockers in patients with lung cancers, every type, every stage. I think that's very, very gratifying news. It is extremely important, to have new ways to fight lung cancer. Clearly, we need better ways. But more importantly, to have therapies that can lead to very long-term benefit, often even off therapy, maybe even approaching what we really want for our patients, and that's to cure their illness. I think all of us that have treated these patients over many years have seen that that can happen, that immune checkpoint blockers themselves can put people into remission and have them never relapse. It's sadly a small group of people. We need to get more, but for those people where it's happened, it's very, very dramatic, and something we don't see with cytotoxic chemotherapies and even with targeted therapies or angiogenesis agents. So that's a really important development. I think it's also important to think about using these immune checkpoint blockers with our best local therapies. I think there was very, very potent data about the use of durvalumab with concurrent chemotherapy and following concurrent chemotherapy and radiation published late last year. I think that's really changed the face of patients with locally advanced cancer, and that's roughly 35,000 people a year in the United States. And there's an additional 35,000 people that could also benefit from combination therapy with immune checkpoint blockers, and those people are folks with resectable cancer. I think the report in the New England Journal of Medicine this week about the use of neoadjuvant nivolumab is a very hopeful one. I think what they saw in the data from Johns Hopkins and Sloan Kettering was that the drugs can be safe. They really don't compromise surgery. They don't make it more difficult. They don't make it more dangerous. But also, we can get a very high and almost unexpected rate of pathologic response in the resection specimen. And as we know from the treatment of lung cancers now for almost three decades, that pathologic response from a systemic therapy translates into long-term benefit and likely translate into a higher rate of cure. So the fact that we're seeing that with these immune checkpoint blockers given by themselves, seeing very, very profound effects with just usually two doses, both in the neoadjuvant nivolumab trial and in the data from the lung cancer mutation consortium trial, the tezolizumab going forward right now and to be presented first at ASCO this year. All those trials point to profound benefit, and the benefit may be even greater in people with that are surgical candidates. So that's so important because we already cure a proportion of people with concurrent chemo radiation. We cure an even greater proportion of people with surgery. Adding in immune checkpoint blockers with a high degree of benefit in the neoadjuvant setting and also demonstration of long-term progression-free and over progression-free survival after chemo radiation, that gives the hope that we can improve rates of cure in these patients, and that's fantastic. So some guidelines today. I think for patients with, I'm not going to talk about small cell today, but immune checkpoint blockers are useful there. I think most people now would use them after initial chemotherapy. For people newly diagnosed with adenocarcinoma or squamous carcinoma, I think the choice of therapy with immune checkpoint blockers depends on the degree of dependence on PD-1 and PD-L1. I think for those patients that have high TMB, high PD-L1, they can probably be treated with a checkpoint blocker, pembrolizumab alone, or the combination of ipilimumab and nivolumab based on the Hellman data presented in Chicago and also in the New England Journal of Medicine. I think for people in the middle, it's tougher. It's very clear that patients getting immune checkpoint blockers and chemotherapy have a higher rate of response and a better overall outcome. So it always makes sense to add in the immune checkpoint blocker, particularly in those patients with symptoms. However, the less and less dependent those tumors are on the immune mechanisms to evade immune surveillance, the less helpful adding in the immune checkpoint blocker is going to be. There is some benefit with people with zero PD-L1 expression, for example. However, it's much smaller than people with high. So, you know, I think in all patients, chemotherapy is a consideration. A top consideration in people with low expression of PD-L1 or tumor mutational burden, a lower use of these agents in people with very high TMB or PD-L1. And lastly, don't forget about the potential to add to curability by adding both immune checkpoint blockers to surgery or radiation. I think there's data now that it helps neoadjuvantly in those patients facing surgery, and it would help in the consolidation phase for patients getting concurrent chemotherapy radiation. We have a lot more tools at our disposal, and I encourage oncologists to make sure that every tool is used for every patient with this illness, and a constant rethinking, is there a better way? Are there more things we could do to fight and ultimately cure our patients with lung cancers of all types?